This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Intruders, and I'll always love my mama for this special Mother's Day. It's May 10th, 2009, and hope you're doing good out there, and hope you take your mom out to dinner, and whatever else you plan to do today. It's the Carol Cox Show on this Sunday morning. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. 524-1080 is the number. You want to talk to Carol, give him your 2 cents. And he'll give you his 2 cents too. Here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Francis.
Morning, Carol.
And happy Mother's Day out there. I hope that everyone is celebrating and giving mom a good day. Take out the brunch or lunch, a breakfast. Give her some flowers. I still have to call mine and say hello. She's a long ways away, but I will do that today. So. Anyway, I will always love my mother, or as we say in the South, mama. Always love my mama. Here, it could be many of things, but anyway, don't forget where you come from, and that's when this applies, Francis. You know, and we'll have the same concerns and share the same feelings for Father's Day as well. So. Anyway, I'm glad you joined in, and if you, any of you out there, I'll leave my mic open today for you, and the phone line's 524-1080. I'm just going to do a couple of things here, update, and I had a conflicting schedule, had something scheduled, and it fell through. So what we're going to do is always have that option. That's one thing you learn about this. And so we're back on track here with what we intend to do is talk about some of the other issues. And also, early on in the last year, I was doing the Hawaii fishing news, and we're going to start publishing a bit more articles in the Hawaii fishing news. Even though it's a fishing magazine, some tend to dismiss it, but it speaks, it's basically the voice for the fishermen. And what happens here is that many issues that come out there, new licenses and new fees, privatization of boat ramps, and it seems that the only real voice that you have that isn't conflicted, you can, on occasion, you can write an article yourself or contact the magazine. And by the way, I'm going to get give you the phone numbers, and you can also go to the Hawaii Fishing News and send them emails or what have you. But first of all, the phone number for the Hawaii Fishing News, the email is fishnews, that's fishnews at hawaii.rr.com. And if you want to give a phone call, 395-4499. Now, if you want to, you can call those guys up, Chuck Johnson, and leave a message if you have a story or concerns, things that are bothering you with the fishing issues, the fines. And just because the DLNR tell you that they're going to raise fees, you still have a voice, and you can definitely have an influence. So anyway, don't hesitate, and this is a monthly magazine, and some of you have heard before, and we're going to start running a bit more articles in there, some of the things we talk about here on the show. And I got a couple calls and emails. Some of you out there wanted to know, whatever happened to the carbon monoxide gas in fish? And I do apologize, because it gives the impression that we started something and didn't finish it. But in reality, we still have the court case, what is going on with Safeway. We're still we're scheduled for trial. I'm asking for a jury trial. And any of you out there, by the way, if you are interested and you believe that you have been defrauded by Safeway, if this is something you believe in, and that you have purchased carbon monoxide treated fish from Safeway, do give me a call. And you can call me at 782-6627, and we have some legal minds that are interested in talking with you, and maybe you would be interested in addressing this legally for having been sold these products, whereas you may have thought they were fresh, or if you think you've gotten sickened by this product. But by no means is it over, and in fact, there is a greater amount of this fish hitting the market now than ever. And unfortunately, unless someone kills over or drop dead, you'll get the state health department and the FDA to speak out. But even then, you know, if you die on the wrong economic downs or the slump, then your story won't make it to the news. So anyway, so if you are interested and believe that in the past year or so you have purchased this fish thinking that it was fresh island fish, and you've learned that it is carbon monoxide treated, please, by all means, don't hesitate. And again, the same warnings that I shared with you long back, they still stand. There's no means of testing it in the shelf. The The states surely don't have that technology to tell you that it's treated or not, if it's safe. They have a histamine test, but that brings in another problem. But again, there should be a label on that, eat at your own risk, believe it or not. So nothing has changed, and we are going to start our island-wide and statewide campaign again to bring back the attention because, for example, Luantai fishing ventures down in the Pacific, they fish Marjoro and all, but there was a proposal, some discussion that the local longline fishing fleet would experience a decline and or reduction in their catch quota. So immediately, Luantai, who ships fish from Marjoro and those areas and other places in the Pacific, immediately sent a letter to the distributors here saying that they will take up the slack, so to speak. They will fill the pukas where there's a lack of fish. Well, that quota didn't take place. Apparently something was worked out in the fishing industry with the government and what have you. So, but what that says is that the willingness and the availability of this product. And then so that's from a human standpoint, the human risk, health risk issues. But I had spoken to you regarding the environmental concerns as well. Well, you know that the fish that you see in Costco, and I got to tell you, Costco has they've made a statement that they're not selling fish with carbon monoxide. And that's I applaud them for that and being concerned with that. But here's a bigger issue. Right here on the shores of Honolulu, there is a company, RC International, who imports anywhere between 6 and 7 tons of shark fin. Not shark, but the shark fin. And that Royal Chinese Cafe on the third or second floor at Ala Moana, the big fancy one, brings a shark fin in, processes it here, ships some out, and then returns some of it back here to sell at their restaurant right under our noses, even though it's illegal by state law to bring in shark fin without the shark attached to the shark. So what happens is that while I say I applaud Costco for not selling a product, as they claim, that does not have carbon monoxide. But the problem is they're buying from a company that practices and continue to practice and kill sharks by the thousands. And that shark fin then is landed here in Honolulu. So while we are having a concern for health and being expressed by Costco, there's an environment. Is this a green issue? What is this? So, had a little glitch there, so we'll get on here. But anyway, what happens with this, with Costco? Maybe some of you out there, if you're up to it and interested, maybe you want to ask the manager there. I ask that of you and ask them. Are they concerned that the product that they sell here, though it does not have carbon monoxide, and please thank them for that, the question is, why buy from a company from Marjoro or Marshall Islands and that allows shark finning? And why are we decimating that population of shark there in that area? And sharks are very important. They're the apex predator. And if you remove them, you destroy an entire ecosystem. Things get out of whack and out of balance. But I'm going to be actually posting some pictures up in coming issues of the in Hawaii Fishing News, and we have a video that we're putting together to where I've actually interviewed the owner of RC International. And boy, if you're talking about arrogant and just flippant, in that he stands there and he openly states that the United States government, the United States scientists, are absolutely off their rockers and have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to the issue of shark finning, that there is no reduction in population. They're doing fine and doing well. And he had no reluctancy in speaking of this on camera. And if you drove down with me one day, you could see them there processing shark fin by the bundles, by the tons. So anyway, again, it's all related. And so the bigger question is, what is it that our government will do in this situation? And why are they hands-off mindset? When we have strict regulations here in the state of Hawaii, where it's illegal for the local fishing boats to do it. Now, keep in mind, I don't want to give you false pretenses or information. We do have some of the local boats here who seem to want to play the line and do sell shark fin. And in the coming weeks, we hope to bring some closure to that behavior. But the bigger picture is, you take the National Marine Fisheries Service, you take the state Department of Land and Natural Resources, they're talking about raising licenses, charging a license and reporting activities. But for 3 or 4 years now, I've reported numerous occasions about the shark finning occurring, and they won't do anything. So Luantai also, when they bring their fish in, now keep in mind, this is not in defense of the local fishermen, but we have to think. We talk about global and green and our carbon footprint and what have you. But our government seems to take that only when it's an opportunistic time to speak about it on TV and make it look as though they're doing something, sustainable fisheries. But the reality is, here in this state and in other places in the United States, the fishing industry is, there's rules. Circle hooks, certain areas you can't fish, court rulings. You have to have observers aboard, and you can't take birds and what have you, which is good. But the problem is, this same type of fish, your tunas and your other fish that show up on the market via Luantai from Marshall Islands area in the Pacific, they don't have the restrictions. They don't have the oversight that we have here. Now, again, I want you to go away knowing that I'm not defending the fishing industry here, but what I am saying is that why would we have such strict regulations here and then require of them a great expense? Some of them can't go out unless they have an observer board and so forth and so on. And they're then trying to put their fish on the market through by navigating the rules. But Luantai and other companies outside of the United States that are importing tuna and yellowtail or what have you, or mahi-mahi, when they come in, they're catching them with little or no oversight. So it's like the Wild Wild West. But anyway, that's what we're going to be doing, and went the long way around to tell you that this thing about carbon monoxide is still with us, and we have so many things that, you know, you want your safe food, you want to be safe, and you want, especially these times, economic times, you can't afford to be spending big bucks for low-quality food and for food that possibly is contaminated with bacteria and what have you. But what we're going to do is I'm going to take a break, and if you want to call in, give me a call, 524-1080, and I'm going to just take a quick break, and for all you mothers out there, again, happy Mother's Day.
This is Bill Holloman with the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship Fund. We send young people, deserving young people, to college. Please contact me, 206-963-5663 or 253-852-7237 at the address 9240 South 240th Place, Kent, Washington, 98030. Your donations are appreciated, helping send young kids to school. Thank you.
Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Jefferson, the book Red Tail Captured, Red Tail Free, Memoirs of a Tuskegee Airman, Prisoner of War in Germany for 9 months, $32. Contact me, 18126 Brinker Street, Detroit, Michigan, 48234, or call me, 313-368-0674. Thank you.
K108 and the Carol Cox Show, yeah, for the love of money, OJs. And, well, let's go back to Carol again.
All righty. Nothing like having a crooked mic here for a day. But anyway, as we were talking, I did get a call off air, and someone reminded me that this could possibly be a free trade zone. While we do have free trade zones, and we do have custom bonded warehouses and zones where products can be transshipped but can't be offloaded. In this instance, with the shark fin we're speaking about, the building that is rented is owned by the State Department of Transportation, and it is actually outside of the customs zone, and it's an unsecured area. It falls out. It's just a standard commercial district, but nonetheless, things can be transshipped, and the United States Congress has been trying to address that. Transship meaning they can come in, stay aboard the vessel, or possibly if there was an emergency or part of the process, offloaded but staying within the bonded process, and then shipped on to its final destination. But that even should be prohibited, because who's to watch all the time? So anyway, in this case with the RC International, it is actually outside of those zones. It may still be in the free enterprise zone. And as the caller had mentioned, the greater benefits may be tax breaks that this company is getting. And we'll look into that and ask around. So anyway, by the way, coming up holidays, and there's going to be proms and graduation parties. Now, last night I had a chance to enjoy some really good music. This guy is DJ Doc J. And let me tell you, if you think you like the party and you want to be motivated, this gentleman is absolutely, he plays the best music. And he'll get you up moving. I don't care who you are. If you're tired and work 10 jobs a day, this guy, the way he mixes it up, he's absolutely, and it's good stuff too. So this is DJ Doc J, West Philadelphia's own, he say. But again, this is not a paid commercial. This is just, I personally experienced this, and I was able to do, I needed Geritol afterwards, but spent a couple hours, my wife and I and friends, at a birthday party, and just had an absolutely good time. And the music take you way back, and just unbelievable. And the Cupid Shuffle. So you guys, I'm telling you, if you're interested, he does birthdays, weddings, graduations, company parties, and more old school. New school hip-hop and R&B. So he got you cornered, and I asked him, well, you know, sometimes I like to hear a little Western. He said, well, you better giddy up, because I'm ready. I play Western, too. So he got them all bases covered. So if you're interested in need a DJ for your company functions, weddings or graduations, try give him a call. DJ Doc J, phone number 292-0769, and his email now, by the way, is Dr. J, and he say that Dr. Julius Irving gave him this name, and he went to school at Booker, and so it's DJ DJAY, or Dr. J, I'm sorry, let me correct that, DRJAY 3262 at Hawaiian Tail, and that's spelled out HAWAIIANTEL .net, and entertainment for all occasion, and I'll put my ears and hips on this one. Really good, so give him a call. All righty, we're back here at the Carol Cox Show, and some of these things you can pick up on the internet at our website, carol@carolcox.com, and also you can pick up a lot of this information at EnviroWatch at EnviroWatch.org. I'm just going to try to touch on a few things. I had a caller earlier this morning before I got on air. wanting to know and thanking us for bringing to attention this issue on DLNR, use of a nonprofit organization. And they were interested in the basic amount of money that would be handled. Well, I wasn't able to get updated materials so far, but I did get a was able to retrieve a 990, a Form 990 that is filed by the nonprofit Hawaii Conservation Alliance Foundation, and they are putting on, if you recall, I describe them as a dummy nonprofit composed of partners from the federal government as well as state agencies here in Hawaii, and two nonprofits. But anyway, here is, in answering to the caller's question, in their Form 990 for the 2007 year, this is, again, on their official return of organization exempt from income tax form, which is a 980, given by the Department of Treasury. They filed this officially, the Hawaii Conservation Alliance Foundation, 1151 Punch Bowl Street. Again, that's the Kalani Moku building, which houses the DLNR, and its rooms number 224. And their phone number that they give here is, again, that if you recall, I shared with you that they were also provided in using state telephone equipment and lines for this nonprofit, 587-0061. But anyway, just now, this is 2007, and I'm informed that things have changed. They've gotten a little more money. But for speaker honorarium, for speaking, they gave $5,851. And that also included student awards. The facilities rental, which would have been the convention center, was $20,740. The conference souvenirs that they give, now, they gave souvenirs for this conference that they had, $10,211. They did field trips, $1,330, and other expenses, $1,570. Office expenses, $4,790. And you would think that if you're getting office for free, why would it cost you anything? So if they are saying that they spent $4,000 on office, then what would the actual cost be if they were not receiving free office space? So for professional fees and conference, food and beverage, hold your hat here, ladies and gentlemen, they spent a whopping $73,000. To be exact, they report $73,078 for professional, for conference food and beverages. Now, I that's sounds like they're eating high on the hog, so to speak. Credit card fees, $4,682. Registration system, $5,502. Sign language, they spent $2,868. For a total of $137,997. Where did that money come from? Now, one may argue and offer, well, we got it through membership. People that join in on the registration fees for attending the class. Well, that was okay, but we don't know the rest of the remain of the money. But interesting, in their recent reports, if you go to their website and attempt to register at the website for this conference that they're putting on, you'll find that they indicate that they are sponsored by the Honolulu Weekly is one of their sponsors. Well, I contacted the Honolulu Weekly, and this is per Ms. Carlson, or Paulson, the publisher. She informs me that, in fact, indeed, they did give them a discount on apparently the ad that they ran, but she say that they did not sponsor them. But if you read the statement written by the organization, it reports that they sponsored them. So it's just a small point, but again, that brings on a bigger question. These are regulatory bodies. And again, I don't want to rehash something and repeat myself, and I sound kind of off kilter. But in this instance, it raises the bigger question. These are regulatory agencies that have this dummy nonprofit. So if you buy into this program, let's say you are a chemical company, or you are a construction company, or the oil company, or whomever, and these are people that you regulate. But if they give you money as a donation and sponsorship for your conference, are you actually giving protection money? Is the DLNR, is the Forest Service, is the National Marine Fisheries Service, and all of the other federal agencies and state agencies, the United States Army, by giving a handsome donation or sponsorship fee, is that protection money from these regulatory agencies? Because it would be difficult, just at face value, that I gave you as a company sponsorship fee of $10,000 or whatever, and now you're coming knocking on my door and saying that I violated the law. Well, I don't believe that the DLNR and these government agencies are above turning their heads and accepting this, quote, sponsorship fee, nothing more than protection money. And one would ask, well, how would I know that? And that's a large leap to draw that conclusion. But the reality is, they should never, ever put themselves in this predicament anyway. If you were a policeman, you're told not to accept a cup of coffee because of the image that it would give, and all kinds of things. So it doesn't have to be illegal, but it's the appearance. And especially, these are regulatory agencies. So while it's seem to be accepted, the ethics commissions say they are actually still investigating it. And by the way, they still have the website up with the Conservation Council for Hawaii, which is a nonprofit organization, have their information posted. But again, so you go away with now. I was told that and understand by the head staff there at the Honolulu Weekly that they did not sponsor anything. And they only gave a discount for an ad that they ran about the conference. So here's what it says on the Hawaii Conservation Conference or the Alliance website. Mahalo to our Conservation Week and conference sponsors for their generous support. So they list two, Honolulu Weekly and the Honu Guide. So again, here's what they give you, this buy-off money. And as I say, we talked about this last week, and I don't want to talk something into the ground, but it's worth the mentioning and raises these questions. Specific sponsorship categories range from $500 to $10,000. All sponsors of $1,000 or more will receive numerous benefits, including but not limited to the highly visible company recognition in the HCC conference, the Hawaii Conservation Conference website, and at the conference, a complimentary table in the conference exhibit hall to promote your company and much more. Now, again, if this was to be placed at Kmart or Walmart, I would kind of think a little different about this. But let's back up here. This sponsorship fee, or I'm going to call it buy-off money or protection money, that's what it is, and that's what these guys that work for DLNR and these government agencies, if they put themselves in this predicament, it's buy-off money, it's protection money, as far as I'm concerned. Call me up and challenge me if you like, but no federal agency should be taking money for sponsorship and then turn around and regulate the same industry. Now, clearly, the Honolulu Weekly, I don't see anything that they would be benefiting from, you know, unless they're dumping their ink in the water or something like that. Who knows? That would be a far stretch. But any company can seek sponsorship. You can be the greatest polluter, but, boy, you could clean your record up in a heartbeat, it seems, if you gave this organization your protection money. So the Hawaii Conservation Week, and this is straight from their website now, the Hawaii Conservation Alliance. The Hawaii Conservation Week and the 17th Annual Hawaii Conservation Conference, HCC, present unparalleled opportunities to demonstrate your company's support for Hawaii's natural environment by underwriting aspects of Conservation Week and conference. We anticipate 1,000 natural resource professionals and members of the public will attend events hosted by the Hawaii Conservation Alliance and Hawaii Conservation Alliance Foundation. There are many ways your company can increase its visibility by helping us make this year's events resoundingly successful. Folks, that's scary. If you step back and look at it, you got 1,000 natural resources professionals. What should have been said, which are government employees, which are regulatory agencies, and therefore, if you give us the sponsorship, we just might treat you nice when you do have a problem, when you do dump oil, or when your workers are found to be contaminating or doing something that's degrading to the environment or violating. Or we may just look at your environmental impact statement and not give it the scrutiny that it should be receiving. We might even have a public meeting, and we have the capacity to limit the public and squander the public's or squash the public's comment period. So these are things that I don't expect you to hop on and understand it quite like I do, but peripherally, I would say to you, any agency, what if the police department were to go down and solicit money from anybody, that all the drug dealers and all the pimps and the guys, the thugs, the auto body shops, and saying, we're going to have a trade show, and we're going to tell you, but if you sponsor us, what if the police department did that? We'd have chaos. You would be outraged, and you should be. So this thing is getting... they're trying to silence it. I have actually sent FOIAs and information requests to state agencies and federal agencies, and some are not acknowledging that they receive them. But see, there's an old trick. You just like, if they acknowledge that they receive them and that some think maybe I won't respond, what we'll end up doing is FOIAing or filing a Freedom of Information Act request for their emails, which will then show that they receive our emails. And I know some of you out there say, well, send it certified. Well, no. Email is just as good. It has never failed me. And I'll be reporting it back to you as to what goes on. And again, I offer this to just share with you. This is, again, it all comes back to the point of what is our government doing and how is it functioning and how is it possible that we can allow this kind of behavior? Where is the oversight? Do we need new ethics laws? Do we need new ethics enforcers? I call the auditor, and you might be interested in this one. I tell them this matter, and it's a funny thing. When you talk to the state ethics office, you can't finish your sentence. Now, you imagine you're calling to file a complaint, and immediately you might get half of your sentence to, and they begin to tell you, well, you know, it may not be as you think it is. Well, you know, this is pretty difficult, and we're understaffed. An entire laundry list of excuses, but keep in mind, you have to say to them, may I finish my complaint? Maybe it may not require anything but a simple phone call. Or maybe I have all the evidence that I can hand to you, and you don't need the investigators. You can sit there at your desk and tell what's illegal or legal in most instances. But this is the reception you get. Now, this was at the state ethics office, and I think I shared with you, they indicated that, well, we can't tell you if we followed up on this. We can't tell you an outcome. Well, then how would I, as a complainant, if I continue to see this, how would I know if it's illegal or legal or unethical? So we then telephoned the state auditor's, Marion Heger's office. Man, if I had some music, I would have had the best dance of my life. It was absolutely, the only thing missing was a little toe tapping. They eventually said, we might be interested, but you might want to contact your legislators and ask one of them to add your complaint to a list of complaints that they have filed. So you can see how this thing is done. Now, U.S. taxpayers out there and people that, good, hard, working, honest people, you make one misstep and they're down, breathing down your neck. And send you letters. I just had a friend tell me they sent her a letter asking for an inspection of her records that she had was owing several thousand dollars in back taxes when it was clear that she had paid them and had the receipt. So why wouldn't they just look to see if they'd ever sent a receipt back to her? And sure enough, they found the receipt, but she ended up spending a couple thousand dollars just to defend that. So when it's the government agencies that are out of kilter or out of whack or unethical, you are met with a great discouragement. But when it's you, there's a rush to persecute and prosecute. And I guess the benefit of that is having an example so they can make an example of you and I. And that way we all go to bed afraid that the boogeyman, the big brother, is going to come get us if we make an honest mistake. But within government, it's rampant. Here's an agencies, I should say, taking buy off of protection money. But anyway, I know you're probably waiting for the violin. I'm sitting here whining and singing so much. But again, it's just a point of some real issues. But moving on, we talked about the Pu'ah 2. Now, that case we shared with you, there was a unanimous vote. And this is the site on the Big Island where there was a historical site that was, the intent was to delist it. And the landowner wanted to delist it, and the DLNR, Historical Preservation Office, came in and seconded that desire, or actually made the file the request and went in to justify it. Well, we beat them back at that point, but now the landowner has filed a case of they're contending it. So this community now is back at seeking someone to intervene. So OHA should intervene, but maybe OHA can't if they're over participating in the Hawaii Conservation Conference. Who knows? But that's one of the issues. Now, one of the things we came up with, someone gave us a tip, called the show and gave us a tip that on Maui, and this is the same subject matter, but a different island and a different incident. Now, it seems that the Historical Preservation Foundation agreed to allow the building of a swimming pool on private property, which we don't want government standing in. But in the actual digging, it's my understanding they found a substantial archaeological historical site that wasn't on the list, but has some great significance, it appears. As described, it's honus or turtles stacked on one another. And this is in a beach area at McKenna. We called up and to talk with Miss Patty J. Conte, who was a contact over there for the state. And she flat out denied. And basically what I called her for to ask her, I told her what I knew and what tidbits we had. And she basically, first of all, started to deny. And I asked, well, I'd like to get the TMK for that site. We know that it exists as described. And she refused. So I then file a request for documents. She then writes me back to tell me, okay, yes, we do have some records, but she denied originally that the site or anything occurred. So we'll get back to you as to what the site contains, but they moved the swimming pool location. I think I'm told now this is the third move, and each move they found more of the same. So this site is substantial and significant, and I'm told now, and this is all secondhand information, but some of it was confirmed by SHPD after I was able to convince them that I knew more than they were willing to let on. So why would they not provide a TMK? They told me they have nothing. They've gone there three times. They have no records. And you would think that if a state worker is involved in performing his duties and finding historical and archaeological sites, you would have some record of them. Well, they denied having any. But anyway, I'm going to get off of here. And again, thank you for joining me. And happy Mother's Day to all of you. This is the Carol Cox Show. And I hope to hear and talk with you next week. Aloha. Give it up.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.